how Operation Epic Fury unfolded. The Pentagon had been choreographing a prospective massive attack on Iran since 1980. In December 2025, President Donald Trump told military planners he would need that devastating option if the Shia regime continued moving toward making a nuclear bomb. Trump's move came after meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. With that request, the countdown to Operation Epic Fury kicked off. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General Dan Kane told reporters March 2 that the president's December request prompted Pentagon leaders to start setting the force and setting the theater in case the president needed to act. After U.S. negotiators, led by Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, left Geneva on February 26 without concessions from Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, the die was cast. The next day, the president called the Pentagon from Air Force One as it was en route to Corpus Christi, Texas, where he was scheduled to campaign for Republican primary candidates. Kane recalled the exact moment he got the call. H-hour, a military term for the time at which an operation begins, was 3:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday, February 27, when the Pentagon received the final go order from President Trump. The president directed, and I quote, "Operation Epic Fury is approved. No aborts. Good luck," Kane said. With that one call, he said, across the globe, operation centers came alive, and Admiral Brad Cooper, Central Command Commander at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, assumed operational command in the theater. When Trump issued the go order at 3:38 p.m., February 27th, it was just after midnight February 28th in Tehran. In the nearly 10 hours between H hour and the actual launch of the attack, Kane said, in the region, every element of the joint force made their final preparations. Air defense batteries readied themselves, checking their systems to respond to Iranian attacks, he said. Pilots and crews rehearsed their strike packages for the final time. Air crews began loading their final weapons, and two carrier strike groups began to move towards their launching point. As dawn crept up, across the central command, skies surged to life, Kane said. More than 100 aircraft launched from land and sea, fighters, tankers, airborne early warning, electronic attack, bombers from the States, and unmanned platforms, forming a single synchronized wave. That wave arrived over Iran at 1:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:45 a.m. in Tehran. That timeline was accelerated by a trigger event conducted by the Israeli Defense Forces, enabled by the U.S. intelligence community. That moved the standard night attack to a mid-morning opening salvo that killed Iranian leader Ali Khamenei and up to 48 of the nation's military leaders at a Tehran compound. That was among more than 1,000 targets struck in the first 24 hours of the aerial, missile, and drone assault. The full strength of America's armed forces came together in a unified purpose against a capable and determined adversary, Kane said. This deployment included thousands of service members from all branches, hundreds of advanced fourth and fifth generation fighters, dozens of refueling tankers, the Lincoln and Ford carrier strike groups, and their embarked air wings, sustained flow of munitions, fuel supplies, he said. All of that is supported by command and control, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance network. And the flow of forces continues today, he said March 2nd. The nation's highest-ranking military officer laid out the order of battle and what forces, as of March 2nd, were engaged in Operation Epic Fury. The rapid assembly of forces demonstrated the joint forces' ability to adapt and project power at the time and place of our nation's choosing, Kane said. That included several combat firsts to be made public at some point in the future. Before the first missile struck, Kane said, the first movers were Space Force, Army, and Air Force electronics and cyber warfare technicians, layering non-kinetic effects, disrupting and degrading and blinding Iran's ability to see, communicate, and respond. With communications disrupted, Iran's air defenses were left without the ability to see, coordinate, or respond effectively, the general said. Thus, U.S. and Israeli air forces established local air superiority with swift, precise, and overwhelming strikes, he said. That set the stage for a campaign that the Pentagon says it can sustain and expand if needed for weeks. Combat firsts, With Iranian air defenses hacked or blinded before the opening salvo, the assault began with waves of Tomahawk cruise missiles, capable of striking targets hundreds of miles inland. Those long-range precision weapons were launched by aircraft carriers USS Abraham Lincoln in the Arabian Sea and USS Gerald R. Ford in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, along with their battlegroup destroyers. The USS Gerald R. Ford had been deployed to the region in mid-2025 during the 12-day war, which badly damaged Iran's capability to produce enriched uranium, a key component of nuclear weapons. The world's biggest warship was then dispatched to the Southern Caribbean to lead Operation Southern Spear off Venezuela. It was ordered back to the 6th Fleet in January and is now in its 8th month of sustained operations. It is to be relieved eventually by the USS George H.W. Bush, a Nimitz-class carrier undergoing post-overhaul sea trials. With missiles outbound, hundreds of Air Force F-15s, F-16s, and stealth F-22 Raptors merged with carrier-launched F/A-18 Hornets, stealth F-35s, and EA-18G electronic warfare jets in the massive aerial attack against Iranian air defenses and missile launch sites. The fighters were later joined by Air Force Stealth B-2 Spirit bombers that flew 17 hours from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, which had struck suspected nuclear complexes with 30,000-pound penetrator munitions in June 2025. In the opening phases of the February 28 assault, they targeted ballistic missile sites with 2,000-pound precision-guided bombs, confirming that the focus was on degrading Iran's air defenses and communications. Ground-based Army precision strike missiles from the M142 high-mobility artillery rocket system mounted on shoot-and-scoot mobile launchers added to the fray, lobbing short-range ballistics into Iran from bases in the Gulf states, the first time the short-range ballistic missile system was used in combat. The Pentagon has acknowledged that Operation Epic Fury is also the debut of a new low-cost uncrewed combat attack system drone, a one-way suicide drone reverse-engineered to mimic Iran's Shahid 136 drone, which it has exported en masse to Russia for use in Ukraine. Among the forces participating in the attack are Air Force MQ-9 Reaper drones carrying Hellfire missiles and guided bombs, twin-engine A-10 attack aircraft directed by E-3 Sentry and E-2 Hawkeye airborne surveillance, and EA-11 ABACN, Wi-Fi in the sky reconnaissance jets, and KC-135 and KC-46 aerial refueling tankers. Under attack from Iranian and Shia militias, there are about 2,400 U.S. soldiers in Syria and Iraq, including in Erbil, Iraq. About 2,000 are from the Iowa National Guard, who are to be relieved by a unit from the 10th Mountain Division this spring. At least 250 guardsmen left Iraq in mid-February, and on February 27th, before the attack was launched, the Iowa National Guard announced that 650 more were headed home. It is uncertain what their status is now. The U.S. base in Erbil is among installations across the region under sporadic Iranian and militia attacks. Trump and War Secretary Pete Hegseth have not ruled out dispatching boots on the ground, although there is no indication that Army and Marine infantry forces have been ordered to deploy. There are two Marine expeditionary units, each with 2,500 assault troops, now at sea, but they are not near the Middle East. Marines aboard the USS Iwo Jima remain in the Caribbean off Venezuela, and those aboard the USS Tripoli are operating with the USS Washington's carrier battle group in the Western Pacific. If conventional ground troops are dispatched, the first forces will likely come from the 82nd Airborne Division and 18th Airborne Corps at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, or the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Other Army units geared to rapidly deploy include the 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson, Colorado, and 10th Mountain Division units training at Fort Polk, Louisiana. But Kane told reporters on March 2nd that although boots on the ground is always an option, it is not at the top of the deck of cards that Pentagon planners have at hand. The next phase, after degrading Iranian defenses, allows aerial forces to mass for the big wave that is coming, he said.